My guest at this time is Maggie Gallagher. She is a senior fellow at the American Principles Project Foundation and is the former president of the National Organization for Marriage. Maggie has fought on the front lines of the culture wars for many years. Social issues have not been front and center in the 2016 presidential campaign, but Gallagher says the outcome of one other race may determine whether Republicans will keep up the fight for religious freedom and conscience protections, or whether the party will simply refuse to keep fighting the increasingly aggressive LGBT agenda. Her thoughts are expressed in a new piece she wrote for National Review Online, dated August 26th. And Maggie, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, pleasure to be with you. Thank you, Greg.
Let me just set the stage here for our listeners. The race you are referring to is not the presidential race, but the North Carolina governor's race, where incumbent Republican Pat McCrory is currently trailing in the polls against Democrat Roy Cooper. In the piece, you point out the race is critical because of McCrory signing legislation known as HB2 to roll back the city of Charlotte expanding public accommodation to transgenders based on their identity. The city wanted to force all public buildings, schools, and businesses to adhere to the policy. The North Carolina law allows businesses to make their own decisions, but says facilities at government and school buildings are to be designated for biological males and females, respectively, although it does encourage accommodation for transgenders through single occupancy facilities, if possible. The bill is obviously a lightning rod, Maggie, but why do you see the outcome of this particular race as the determining factor for whether the Republican Party will fight for conscience and religious freedom?
Well, let me reframe the issue slightly. Everything you said is true, but what I think most people, including most conservatives, don't understand is that the Obama administration has redefined gender discrimination laws to include LGBT people quite lawlessly, and is threatening to withhold federal funding from every public school in America that does not open not only their bathrooms, but their shower rooms and locker rooms. Not only their locker rooms, but also their overnight trip facility. So the importance of HB2 is this is the only state to formally and publicly, other than through some states filing lawsuits, to fight back against the pressures on local school districts from the federal government to say, you've got to let people who are biological males shower with your girls if they identify as female. And there's no process. They don't need a doctor's note. They don't need to be, they don't need anything. And their parents may not even know they're transgender. In fact, in Charlotte, the training notes for teachers, for children, even in grade school, they're told basically that they should be very careful about letting parents know if children are transitioning to the other gender. And so, not only is the federal government schools open all of their shower rooms to biological males if they have gender identity issues, but they are, in addition, some of the local school districts in Charlotte are now trying to urge teachers, are trying to push good teachers to hide it from parents. So we've got a really big mess here. And Pat McCrory in North Carolina is the one of the few people who have stood up to it. There's a Mississippi conscience protection law that's now in the courts too. So what the Republican Party is going to look at, what I'm telling you the insiders in the Republican Party are going to do, they're going to look at this McCrory race and they're going to decide whether or not they're going to shut down on these issues, whether these are just not politically viable issues in America. And I can tell you that the National Republican Party would like to shut down. And this is going to include not only the National Republican Party, but you're going to see the wave of state efforts to provide conscience protections to gay marriage dissenters grind to a halt. Because basically what's happening now is, I mean, it's absolutely absurd to say, to invade the privacy of every schoolgirl in America in order to accommodate people with transgender identity issues. And I do think they need to be accommodated, but the left is vigorously rejecting the idea. Let them use the teacher faculty lounge. Let them use single stalls. No, these people are women in their views, and or girls, I guess, in the case of minors, and they have to be treated exactly like any other girl. And if we can't win an election on this, then the Republican Party is going to just say, well, whatever the left And my only other small correction is I don't think it's correct to call this a gay agenda anymore. It is the entire left of the Democratic Party now, all in on using the power of the federal government to fundamentally take away the privacy rights of girls and the rights of parents in every public school across the America. And if we can't see a rush in here to recognize the strategic significance of McCrory, then what it really demonstrates is what I've been kind of like ringing the bell about, which is that social conservatives really aren't in politics. We just go on television and we talk like we're in politics, but we don't develop political institutions with resources that can actually go in contested elections and help our guys out, help unelect our opponents and make sure that our friends who stick their neck out are protected. And that is what, on the other side, the gay rights movement has done so brilliantly. And, you know, my hat's off to them for that, like getting involved in organizing political money, not just sloganeering, to help them win elections. And right now, it's not happening for Pat McCrory. We're seeing no strong outburst there of no new money, no fresh troops. I know the people in North Carolina, Tammy Fitzgerald and others, they're doing the best they can. But this is really a national election. It is going to decide whether both parties agree with the Obama administration's transgender initiative, and both parties agree that you're like a bigot or a hater if you dissent from gay marriage and should be treated the same way.
Maggie, we've just got a few minutes left, and there's a few more things I want to get to. It sounds like perhaps the most disturbing thing here from what you're saying and what you've written in your piece is that Republicans are looking for a reason to surrender. Why don't they care so much about these issues? Is it just about it being a losing political issue, or do they just not care?
Well, I think those two things are related. I think that I think Republican elites care a lot more about economic issues and business issues than they care about social issues or values issues. That's always been true. But so in order for a social issue to break into the agenda under the political strategies that Christian conservatives have been using, it has to be an incredible, overwhelming political winner, right? If you can show us that 65% of the country is on your side, then maybe the Republican Party will be on your side too, the Republican business elites. But right now, the Chamber of Commerce has emerged as one of the leading voices against conscience protections for gay marriage dissenters, or pushing back against this radical idea that, you know, biological males get to shower with your daughter if they feel female that day. So, you know, the business wing of the party has already caved and folded on this. So if it turns out that this is a losing issue for McCrory, it's going to be in North Carolina, you know, which is not Vermont or Massachusetts. This is going to be read by the political class as stay away from any issue the left says is anti-gay.
Maggie, Pat McCrory's approval numbers were not exactly stellar even before this, because he's done some things that the left really hammered him for economically and other things that many conservatives applaud him for. So if, in fact, he does not win re-election, is it really a referendum on HB2?
I know that it's going to be seen that way by Republicans across the country. I think even if he wins, the left will spin it and say this issue didn't help him. The fundamental thing, I know that this could be a winning issue for McCrory, but it doesn't happen in a disorganized way anymore. You have to actually get into politics, raise money, get your message out if you want to influence elections. And I think what we're watching unfold is the end of the kind of 80s and 90s idea that if the left just takes extreme positions, the American people will spontaneously rebel. That is, the left has gotten much better at controlling the message, controlling the framework. Our information does not get out spontaneously. I tell you, most people do not even know how that, they don't know that the transgender agenda is not just bathrooms, it's showers, it's overnight visits. And they don't know that it's coming straight from Obama White House, because our messages don't get out there in a spontaneous way. So my fundamental belief is that either we're going to have to get seriously into politics like the pro-life movement has, like the Susan B. Anthony List movement has, by creating organizations that are get directly involved in political elections and on religious liberty and conscience protections and parental rights in schools, or we're just going to continue to see our rights rapidly overturned and our place in society redefined as the equivalent of racist haters and bigots. So it's like, get serious or get ready. And even if we got serious now, it's going to be a really big challenge to win this fight. But I think it is winnable, but we can't just sit back and let, depend on some sort of mass uprising if the left goes too far. They're going too far, and there's no mass uprising, so we need to get politically smart.
Couple quick things here, Maggie. In your piece, you talk about how there's a three-pronged strategy to the left constantly winning on these issues. Number one is getting the media to shape the message properly, which is not that hard because most of them are in alignment with them. Then they get celebrities and athletes to go on social media and so forth and trumpet the cause. And then eventually that leads to Republican elites, as you term them, to shut up and essentially roll over. So how do you fight back against that type of organization?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that we need to do, and I appreciate what you're doing in terms of getting the message out. But it is not just so the mainstream media used to always have a liberal bias as long as I've been around. But about 5 or 10 years ago, the left decided to organize it more effectively. And so they created these journal lists and other ways of getting the talking points out there more rapidly. And I really noticed it in the gay marriage fight that as soon as HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, decided to change the wording, it suddenly went into every poll in America. It was in every headline in America. And it was always framed in that way. So, and now we're seeing the same thing happening. It's like you're discriminating against transgender people, not the federal government is forcing your daughters to shower with biological males as a condition. So I think that the answer, as I said, it's not going to be easy under any circumstances. We need to find new ways to get our message out. It would be nice if we actually had a television network which would cover these stories, which Fox News really does not do in a very, very, very much at all, and often covers it from the pro-gay point of view as well. But my one answer is that we have to form political institutions to get our messages. We have to raise some money to pay to get our messages directly to the people who care. And there are new, the technologies we have, the big data we have allows us to do it. It would take about $1 million to message to soft Democrats in North Carolina directly in a way that could flip this election. And right now, the organization I'm working with and some others are beating the bushes to see if anyone cares enough to make this happen. And I'd be happy if it was somebody else's organization who were doing that. But we have no national organization that fights for religious liberty or for parental rights on this issue in political elections. That has to change.
Very quickly, Maggie, we're a little over time here, but very quickly, we said that the North Carolina governor's race is the bellwether here, but let's talk very briefly about the presidential race. When it comes to HB2, Donald Trump, first of all, said he was opposed to it. Then he said it should be left up to the states to decide what their policies are. Hillary Clinton, obviously, is fully opposed to it. So for those worried about issues of conscience, religious liberty, how should they look at the presidential race?
Well, I'm personally for neither. I know it's a hard choice, and I respect people who feel that Trump is, given how bad Hillary is, that Trump is their only option. But having watched him very closely since he began running for president, he has never shown any willingness to stand against the left on gay issues. And I think that's partly because, maybe it's partly because of his Manhattan values, as his children sometimes say. All of his children are pro-gay marriage and have been for years. But it is also that he loves his business enterprise like it's his child. And, you can be hurt. Apparently you can diss Mexicans, and it doesn't really hurt your business empire. But if you cross the LGBT community, they can really hurt you. So I do not think that Trump is going to be our savior on these issues. I respect people who think he's going to be marginally better than, or even somewhat better than Hillary. For these reasons, and also simply because I cannot tolerate the way the man conducts himself, I personally can't support him, but I know good people who do.
Maggie, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
Maggie Gallagher is a senior fellow at the American Principles Project Foundation, former president of the National Organization for Marriage. Her piece on the critical nature of the North Carolina governor's race is on National Review Online, dated August 26th. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.